I think one of the points that I'm thinking of, before you build a relationship, marriage is a relationship, but before you build a relationship with another person, you need to start with yourself. So I will focus first of all about the personal preparation to get ready for a relationship. And here I go back to the first meeting with the first human being. And this is the start. Where do you belong? Where is your belonging? And when you know exactly to whom you belong, then you can start a relationship. Most of the time people were thinking of that we belong to a community, we belong to another person. Especially with marriage, they were always thinking that they belong to one another. Let's go back to the first belonging. One day, that it has been not a day, I don't know what it was called, when God starts to think, let's create human beings on our image and likeness. And this is one of the most important points that God took the first step for human being. But when He created them, yes, in His image, and wanted them to be His likeness, He started to do it in steps. And the steps shows us. So you can imagine yourself that you are the first man or the first woman. And what happened then? God didn't want to create both of them at the same time. And this has a reason. He could have done it so easily. He would create human beings like men and women. He did that with all the other creation. He did that with animals. And He created them male and female at the same time. But why it was so important for God to create a man by Himself and then take a pause and create a woman? Why not like the other creation? And this is, I think, it's a very important thing to understand. If you can imagine yourself, the first man, and the first thing you did in your life, what did you see? And to whom you were connecting, and to whom you were building relationship? And I could imagine myself, like I would take this dust, the mud, that God molded a human being, and then He breathed into it. And suddenly, a beautiful human being is coming up, opening the eyes, and the blood is running, to see only God and nothing else. And the whole human being at that time, which were in Adam, only saw God, not the creation. Nothing in there. It was only him and God. So that means the only thing that he could belong to was God Himself. And if we don't understand the point of belonging within ourselves, we cannot build a relationship with another person, because then we are lacking the foundation. And the foundation here is to see yourself to whom you belong. And God wanted this belonging to be very much on focus for human beings. And then He saw the need of a human being. He saw the need of a man. Then He told him, wait a minute here. You need to stay away. I want to create something, and I wanted to create a woman and give her the same experience. You can't have the experience by yourself. And that's why God put Adam to sleep. You're out of this. This is not your concern. You are not yet there. And he took a rib from Adam. And then, what was the first thing that a woman saw and belonged to? It has the same experience. It's also God and no one else. She didn't know about Adam. She didn't know that there is another man like her. But the first thing that she knew about was herself and God. And here I wanted to put this foundation, first of all, that we need to strengthen the belonging. And the belonging here is not something that I build with another person. The belonging is something that I need to fix first within myself and God. And this is so important. So now, if a person needs to build a relationship with another one, to share life, to share happiness, and to share everyday struggle and challenges. And if this person is not having the foundation of belonging to God Himself first of all, then I don't think that they will be able to make it with a good relationship, because the belonging, the foundation of belonging, is very weak. And that's why if you go in history and see, the people of God who had successful marriages in the Bible, they were having this belonging very strong. And those people that they didn't have a good belonging to God, they didn't have good successful marriage. And if the two persons belongs to other things, to different things, I don't think that they will share the same thing. I would recall the story of David, when his wife, the daughter of Saul, Michal, she saw him rejoicing. She saw him so happy, because he has a vision. He is happy, is rejoicing with the glory of God, making his victory, bringing the tabernacle, and walking in to Jerusalem, making all these celebrations. And David needed to dance, because he wanted to celebrate his vision, the fulfillment of his joy. The foundation of belonging to God was the focus for David. But what was the focus of his wife? She mocked him. She didn't like that. And that was the end. That was the end of the relationship between both of them. He didn't know her after that time. Because her belonging was the glory of the majesty of the king. How come you do that and you disgrace the reality? But for him, it was an honor for God. And here, the two different belonging could not meet, even though they've been married for years. And that's why I feel like first thing we need to understand, have a strong belonging to God Himself. And that's why God wanted to put this focus. He created them in two different times to give the experience. The second thing, I feel it's important before marriage, is the vision. And also, it comes back to the same moment. God wanted us to have a certain vision in our life. It's not that He created us in His image and likeness. This is not a right statement, actually. God created us in His image only. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you will see that God has a vision. He wanted, let's create human being on our image and likeness. But when he actually created them, in verse, you read it in verse 27, he created them in his image, full stop. In the image of God, he created them, a man and a woman. So where the likeness went? The likeness was given to us that we grow in this image, that we grow in this vision. Then, if two persons are meeting and they have two different visions, someone is wanting the vision of God to be fulfilled in him or her, and another one is not caring for that. And this is so important that people will try to understand. If they share the same vision, but maybe it's important that you yourself, before you start a relationship, fix your vision first and make it clear within you. If I come to most of the people now and ask them, write your vision, write it down. Maybe write one sentence to make it much more difficult. What's your vision? I am sure that a lot of people would not be able to write their own vision. And that's why they will not be able to meet the same vision with another person, because they don't understand what is theirs. If someone, his vision or her vision is the mission or the poor, all of us are having vision to come closer to God. But how? St. Paul has a vision to preach. And imagine if someone would meet with him that has no vision for preaching, for reaching out. There would be a conflict. So first of all, have your foundation of belonging. Second, have your foundation of your vision. The third point before you start to get a relationship with others, have a reconciliation between the inner masculinity and the inner femininity within you. And this is, I think, most of us, sometimes we don't think of it before we start to get married. What's the relationship between you and yourself and your malehood or your femalehood? That you need to put it first, clear. Are you really proud of being your own gender? Are you really proud and understanding what's the characters of this gender and why you were created like that? And then when you understand it, you would look to the other gender with greatness, with glory, that you know that God as well has a specific goal for this other gender. And between these two relationships, it's inside me, it's not with another person. All this is someone who is caring for him or herself. And then I could see that a lot of us, either we grow up and we don't understand why we were created this way, maybe with an oriental society, they will be so proud of being male because this is a male-dominating society. But as it is, so what is the malehood then? And what's your relationship with the femalehood, with the masculinity and femininity within you? And this is something that you need as well to have a reconciliation with. Most of us, sometimes, because of the fear of discovering ourselves, we don't really go deeper with ourselves. I was discussing with someone a few days ago, and then it came the idea, can you look deep into the eyes of someone more than 2 minutes? Of course, if you go deeper with the eyes with someone, then something will start here. You just look deep into the eyes of someone, and then something will start. But imagine if you look deep into your own eyes through a mirror. Can you stand 5 minutes there? I don't think it will be. Then you can go deeper into the eyes of your own self first, before you look deep into the eyes of someone else. And then you will start to understand your own self first. Whether you are in your masculinity or your femininity. And then you make the peace, the reconciliation between both of them. It's hard, actually, to do that. And if you do that, I think you're achieving something great. The fourth point I see that we need to start. Every human being has their own characters. And when we understand our own, are you really so emotionate or intellectual? Or are you playing this game of being so and so? But then if you don't understand that within yourself, how you would understand another person? Understanding your character and how you deal with it. Are you a person that can make relationship, can put boundaries to your own self? Are you a person that you have, are you a visionary or administrator? Do you want to have control of everything, or you can let go? What's your own? And that means that we move from the belonging to the vision, to the reconciliation, but to understanding of oneself. And once we start to understand our own self, then I would ask myself about the goal of marriage. Why I need to get married? Is it just because everybody has to get married? Or is it just because it's nice, or to get children? Or is it just because all the peer pressure of the society is telling you that you have to get married? Or if you don't get married, you cannot reach to this. What's really your goal? Why you need to make a relationship with a person that it would be so deep like that? Then here, there are actually other factors that pushes a human being to get married, which may be different from one person to another. But I can imagine if the factor or the reason that you're getting married for is not right, then everything will be built on it is not right. I give an example. If someone would think like, I wanted to get married so I would have a child. That's a nice reason. But what about if you don't have a child? What would happen to this marriage? You will either blame yourself or blame your wife or blame God. Because the reason that you did something for it is not there. It's not fulfilled. But when God put the reason clear for us, it was so beautiful. It's not good to have Adam by himself. It's not good. So what are you doing? I want to make him happy. I want him to have someone like him to share life with him with his vision. And that means that people who are choosing to get married because reasons of either it is to help them in life, economically or socially, or getting married for children, sometimes and they lose a lot because the connection, the direct connection for the reason with God Himself is broken simply because of the reason. So here this is actually five main points for me to put a person before they start to ask, I just want to get married. Then we say, first, put the foundation clear that you belong to God, not to another person. Then the second belonging would be the other person, but the first one would be God. Second, what's your vision? Do you have a vision or not? If you don't, please stop and find your own vision before you find another person and start to blame this person about their vision. And third, reconciliation within yourself with your own nature, with your own gender, because I see that this is also making a lot of problems. Then, what's your reason for marriage? And this is something that we all need to get clear. Then the natural growth of characters that we all share, working together to achieve one of our goals in this life, which is to be whole human being. The other person, I would understand, it's a very beautiful mirror for me to understand about myself. You could see, if you look at yourself, you only can see maybe 30% of yourself. If you look at yourself, whatever you can see of your own self, you would see 30% of yourself. But you can see of the other person about 60% of the other person. And you know, it's very big difference here. But if you could see actually yourself, and you can borrow the eyes of another person with you, I think you could reach to a little bit higher percentage of understanding about yourself. And that means that sharing together is something so important, that we could understand about ourselves and the other person is a mirror for me to see the other. It's a face that we need to see. It's our face and the other's face. There was a beautiful thing that a couple did. They put in the rings something so beautiful. I loved it myself. They put one wing in the ring and the other wing in another ring. And they said that God created the man with one wing and the woman with another wing, with one wing. So if they join together, they could fly together. That means they could fly together with the two wings, not with one wing. But before you understand your own wing and the strength of it, you can't put a wing of an eagle with a wing of a dove. It will not be balanced. And that means the two wings has to share the vision and the belonging and understanding, and our real vision who gives us the power to fly, Jesus Himself. So if Jesus is in your own heart, then it's ready, you are ready to start a relationship with another one. If you are still missing that, you may start another relationship, but I'm not sure if you will have the same vision together. So I think I will stop here with these 5 points, and I will leave the floor to Abuna Dawood so he will continue. May God bless you. Thank you.
I'm asking Sayyidina, what did he mean by saying that one should understand himself in his masculine nature and the feminine part? I couldn't get this point.
The masculine part inside, you know, in every human being, there are inside us, there is the two gender in us, inside, in our inner being. The masculinity is the straightness, is the firmness, it is the achievements, it is the same time, it's the solidity, it's the security, it is the you see, it's the behaviors within us. And when you don't understand that this is inside you, has the same time a relationship with your own femininity within you, which is the embracing, the waiting, the embracing again, the cycle life within you. It's important to put the two together within you, so you would understand that life is not only achievements, but it's also it's embracing. So life is not only firmness, but it's fluidity. It's cycling, and that's an important balance that you will have with you. Then it reflects when this balance is not there within you, it reflects in your everyday life, that sometimes people are not able to make decisions in their own life. Then they will ask other people to make the decisions for them. Then here there is something wrong in the masculinity, in the inner masculinity. And when someone is not able to be kind, someone is not understanding the cycle of life, that everything we do is in cycling, and then the inner femininity within is broken, and then how come you will continue building a relationship with a woman or a man if one of them is broken? I see that sometimes we think that if it's a woman, then it has only a femininity. No, it's not true. A woman has its own masculinity inside her, and at the same time, the man has his own femininity. And that's why God put the two together in a beautiful relationship. So if I don't understand this part, how would I be kind to a woman if I am a man? And how I would be a woman that can say yes or no? And this needs to be together in this relationship. I think some men would think if they have a distorted vision about their masculinity, that they have the power and the authority to say this and that's it, and then take all the decisions and take all the leads, and not understanding that in the other partner there is also another part of masculinity that needs also to be fulfilled. And if it's the other side, the woman would feel like in the man is only simply a little bit of is no kindness, there is no love. So I feel like both of us needs to be in connection.
How about saying in this point, the responsibility part usually related to man, and the submission part usually related to woman, but in each of us, in any one of us, man or woman, he should learn to be responsible and also learn to obey. So even when I'm a man, I'm responsible for my home and my wife, but plus I should learn how to obey sometimes to the people around. That's what you mean, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
I was reading about the meaning of obedience, the word obey, in Latin. It has a beautiful meaning. The meaning of this word, it is listening with the ears of your heart. To obey is to listen with the ears of your heart. Then I saw it from another beautiful angle. Obedience is not really what it gives with the meaning of submission. Obedience gives a beautiful characters for the person who is able to listen with ears of the heart. That means this person has a beautiful heart, has a beautiful ears. He is not deaf in the heart. So I felt like this is something that we need to lift up, not to put down. So the submission concept here is just lifting up the other person, that this other person has beautiful ears of heart that is open and can listen to.
If only they can listen to a nice voice from the other person.
At least they can listen. Yes.
So you know, if all these characters are present but not complete, could it be complete in marriage?
At least we can understand that this is so important, that my belonging first belonging to be with God, and I know that I will choose another partner that I know that they have this idea, this vision, this foundation, that the first belonging is God, and then we could continue together and try to repair if something is getting wrong. But I can't choose another person with another foundation. Simply it will be hard. So understanding this, it gives me an idea how to choose. Then when I look or search or accept or reject, then I would look to things that is so important for me. So first of all, even if my foundation is not really strong, but at least I understand that this has to be this way, then my choices will be according to what has to be. From my understanding, when God created the human being this way, I feel like He wanted the partner to be equal in understanding the vision. Then, when I share the same vision with someone, I'm sure that if this vision is fulfilled, it will give you a continuity of vision, because the vision of reaching to the good example, as God wanted us to be His example, so the example of God in my life would never end. So I would have a vision that is never end. Then if I wanted someone to share with me, then I would, like a person, if I would like someone to share the partner with someone, then they have to understand that God wanted us to be His example on earth. And that means that this example would never end. Then it's a continuous fulfillment of the reason. But other reasons, it cuts short. If you are getting married for a reason, like you get children, it could not happen, it could not. Or someone would say, like, they will help me, that I don't like to be alone, I don't like to be lonely. Maybe someone with the... It's hard to be lonely when you are with someone. Of course, you can be with someone living together with the same life and you feel lonely because people are not sharing the same vision. So I think the good reason, according to the Bible, that people would get married because they want to share the strength and the encouragement of someone that have the same vision of becoming the good example like God created us with.
Excuse me, may I put it this way? The sacrament of Christian marriage applies only on two. Both of them are looking to heaven and they want to get the kingdom of heaven, so they will share life together to strengthen their power to get into the kingdom of heaven. So it applies only on those who are God's men or God's people. That's why it's sacramental. It does not apply to anybody. It's not like any kind of relation outside the church. There are many marriages outside the church, but it's not the sacramental one, because they do not look at the kingdom of heaven. That's, I think, the cornerstone of our marriage or our marital relation in God.